Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, February 20th, 2023. We didn't get a chance to talk to our next guest last week after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, so we have it today. We have Bill Moss who joins us every Monday. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Stephen. That was a long intro. Were you on Donut Break or what was that?
I like listening to that song.
Do you?
Yeah.
Does it pump you up a little bit?
It brings me back to memories of my youth. So I enjoy that song. And I don't want to. I don't like when Marco plays it, though, because then I don't want to talk over it. I just want to listen to it and think about Steve DeBerg handing the ball to Christian Okoye. So
how about that? You know, they're having a roast for him in April. Did you see that?
Oh, I'm the MC. I'm the guy.
You're the guy?
You better look out.
I'm already working on some material, Bill. So if you've got anything added, go ahead and text me and let me know.
I'm just wondering what the over-under is that he makes it.
That like makes it there or makes it through the entire evening?
Yeah, both.
Yeah, right. That's right. I hope you're going to be there, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, cool, Christian, for sure.
Yeah, you can't miss that. And so, and look, it's going to be such a celebratory mood because the Chiefs will be the world champs. That's right. That's right after the NFL draft concludes here in Kansas City. So it's a great time to be a Chiefs fan. And now that we get a chance to ask you about it, man, you watched it like the rest of us. The Chiefs beat the Eagles 38-35. Put everything in perspective from for this season where the Chiefs won their second Super Bowl in the last 4 years.
It's hard to. It's hard to put anything into perspective when you look about this team or talk about this team, because I don't know if I've ever really seen anything like it. I was trying to think, Stephen, you know, I don't know of a quarterback in the history of since I've been watching football or been around to follow football that could really will his team to victory. You know, I would say Brett Favre for the first time in his Super Bowl, but he, you know, I would say John Elway when he took three teams to the Super Bowl on his back. But, you know, most of those guys that play that position just play the position. Patrick Mahomes is, you know, he transcends his will to win and competitiveness to win and failure to stop trying to everybody that's out on the field. And I think to everybody that watches the Kansas City Chiefs and the fans, I mean, we feel that. You can see it when he plays that everybody is feeding off him. And that's really rare. You know, you think about all the quarterbacks that play the position right now. Talent, they're great, right? They've got everything. They can run. They got the arm. They can do things. But his determination and his will and desire to win, I mean, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if you can really sum anything up about this team and about him right now, because it's still being written.
Nate Bucchetti.
Well, Stephen pointed out earlier that he's already got as many Super Bowls as the Packers got out of 31 years of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And like that, you know, that puts it into perspective right there, what we're talking about, what he's already accomplished in just five short years. And so the only question left is, in terms of like, you know, his legacy is, will he do it for long enough at this level that he could even be considered the greatest to ever do it? Because for a five-year period, he is the greatest to ever do it. And with that mentality that you talked about, that will to win, that competitiveness, is that the biggest indicator as to why we should believe that he can and will do it for a long time?
Like, so the one thing you can say, like, it's not fake. You know, you can only – if it was fake, it would have been clear by now. He's the only person I know that can make Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady look like, are you kidding me, the way you act? And he just keeps going. He just keeps giving. I mean, the things that come out of his mouth right after the game, it was him. He did that. He willed that win. And in the caught up in the emotion, everything, all she's screaming is everybody else's name. Like, you can't fake that, right? You can't. That's not a. He doesn't have a marketing guy. That's who he is, and his desire and will to win is just. I mean, it's something to behold, and it's so fun to watch. And it's not just us. I mean, people around the world, they notice it. You can see it. They talk about it. It's amazing that we have him here in Kansas City. And I think that, you know, when you talk about can it happen again, can he do it again, how long can he do it, I think he's got all the pieces in place. And I don't mean players. I mean, I think managing of the salary cap and how they handle the roster and Andy and Brett and, you know, it just the whole deal, the whole organization from top to bottom, they've got it right. They've got it figured out. They know how to go about. They already know their next steps that they're planning for next year and how they're going to handle this.
All right. We have Bill Moss on the line. One of those pieces has left the organization, Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
He's now the assistant head coach and offensive coordinator in Washington. What was your reaction to that move?
Well, I think with everybody else, it's a head-scratcher. There's a lot of things you can point to or people would want to talk about, but I think the move in and of itself for Eric is the best thing for Eric. Whatever the reasons are that he couldn't get a head coaching job, and you know, who knows what they are, but you know, whatever they are, if in fact it was under the shadow of Andy Reid calling the plays and him not being the one, you know, he can prove and show that he's the guy. He's the one making the calls. And if Washington has success, it'll be very beneficial to him. But you know, the argument is, I mean, going back all the way through this thing, if you're around the system and you understand the system and you're a part of the system, whether you're making the play calls or not, that's why you get hired. Because you know how a system runs, you're coming from a good organization, and you know how to run an organization. That's what it should be about, and I think that's been proven over and over and over and over and over again with hires around the league that go back 20 years. That's what you get hired for, whether you're the guy calling the play or not calling the play, or, you know, hell, Andy Reid was a quarterback coach. I can go back and name 40 head coaches have got hired that weren't offensive defensive coordinators, and they got hired because they're a part of a system, a way you do things, a championship way of doing things. And so that's the head scratcher to me, and I think it's the head scratcher to everybody else that talks about him as well.
Yeah, because it didn't seem like that was the big issue for Doug Peterson or Matt Nagy. Oh, who's calling the plays? Is it you or Andy Reid?
Hey, right? Wait a second. Marty Morningwig,
yeah.
Brad Childress.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go on and on and on. When you're talking about that, I don't know. When there's a lot that goes into being the face of an organization. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, 20-some years ago, would a rotund, Andy Reid, quarterback coach from Green Bay Packers, would he get a shot at being a head coach? You know, now everything is about, you know, tight jawline and a good look and youth and all these things that are more about marketing than it is about X's and O's. So, you know, I don't know. There's a lot that goes into a discussion about who's wanting to do what.
Now, I remember there were plenty of eyebrows raised when the Eagles hired him from the Packers
organization. Oh, my gosh. The Philadelphia fans, they were crazy. They booed him. He went to a Sixers game like this first week there. So, and they booed him. It almost brought down the spectrum.
Nate Buchady.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, let me just put it this way. How much success do you think Bieniemy will have in Washington? Because he doesn't even know who his quarterback's going to be yet. He's got some skill position players, but that organization seems to be a mess. How much success do you think he'll have? How much success does he need there?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you are right. I mean, and don't forget, Ron Rivera was brought up under Andy Reid. And that's the guy who hired him. So, that's a great question. Who's the quarterback going to be? The good thing about it is, though, is that that team has good leadership in place with Ron. Not leadership from the front office side and ownership, but with Ron, I mean, that team battled everybody they played. And at the end of the season, we're knocking people off with to-be-named quarterback, a strong defense, and, you know, a team that played complementary football. So if you get in that situation and they can find a guy under center, he could have success. I mean, it's not as if the guy doesn't know football as long as he's been in it and the people he's been around. And he has the ability, too, to adapt and adjust. He's been around and seen the different kinds of quarterbacks and styles of quarterbacks and how to go about it and dig into different playbooks to make things work. So I think that, you know, if that team continues on the path it's on and the way it ended the season, that Eric Bieniemy, by the end of next year, will have a nice book of work put together with his name stamped on it.
Bill Moss is our guest. Bill, now the off-season decisions will start being made. Yeah. And there are a couple of reports out there from CBS Sports and also The Athletic that the Chiefs are expected to use the franchise tag on Orlando Brown for a second straight offseason. Teams can begin applying the tag tomorrow through March 7th. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, Orlando Brown now versus last year when he turned down an extension from the Chiefs and played under the franchise tag, has his value, based on what you saw this year and the fact that they won a Super Bowl with him, has his value gone up as a player, gone down, stayed the same? How has this season, this past season, changed his value in your opinion?
I don't think it has. I think, you know, he's still right there. He stayed the same. He had his ups and downs. I mean, the best thing is that he got another, you know, Pro Bowl nod. But, you know, that's completely different now than what it used to be when it was only players and head coaches that could vote on it. It's fan-based and, you know, sometimes it's just a name thing. If you're recognized, you're going. I think grade-wise, it's about the same, maybe a little better. Maybe he saw the season. I mean, he had his ups and downs, right? But I think the Chiefs are making the right move on putting the franchise tag on him again. I think it's a wise move. They've proven over and over they know how to handle their salary cap. They know how to handle their roster. They're going to do what's in the best interest of them. And I think the same thing with it's going to happen with Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, it's going to be a money thing. Chris Jones could be too. And I think it's going to be. I think they've set the standard and laid out the map of how they're going to go about this with Tyreek Hill. Hey, you can stay and be a part of this great team. You're going to be paid a heck of a lot of money. If your goal is to be the highest paid at that position in the league, then it's probably not for us. And, you know, we hope you stay, but you know, that choice is yours. And they're going to make good decisions if they get compensation for him and picks and things like that. And same thing with Juju, you know. What's going to happen there with that number? You want to come back? What are you going to come back for? He got to experience something he's never had in his career, his whole entire career in Pittsburgh with Big Ben. He hadn't experienced anything like this at all. He got to learn an offense and the strategies of an offense that, in his own words, it just blows him away that everything he thought he knew back in Pittsburgh. So they're going to cross that bridge with these guys and have talks and discussions. And you know, you want to be a part of something great? Let's do it. Welcome. Let's go. If your goal is to be the highest paid or get the most money you possibly can on the table, then it's probably not for us.
So where do you think this is headed with Chris Jones? Because, I mean, you said earlier this season you thought he was the defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
And he was a finalist, and so he was. If he wasn't the best, he was right there. And I think, yeah, I'm with you, he should have been the defensive player of the year. And so he can legitimately ask for a monster contract. Mm-hmm. Where do you think we're headed with the Chiefs and Chris Jones?
I think it's going to be along that path. I mean, his body of work over the last two seasons, I think, are his best ever. And, you know, this is a defensive tackle that's getting up there a little bit in age-wise. And, you know, history's proven that position, how demanding it is, and what happens to a guy as he approaches 30. But they know they're going to have to – they have a number, I'm sure, that they're willing to go to, maybe a little bit more. But, again, I think that if you want to be a part of something great, because we're still going. We're not done yet. And I think that's the way they approach it. And I think it'll be the same roadmap as Tyreek Hill. You know, yeah, what do you want to do?
Nate Buchanan.
So here's the question.
How can you be yelling at him?
Because he's in Arizona. And so sometimes he's getting coffee from a lady.
Did all the flights get canceled from the Super Bowl? What do you mean he's in Arizona?
You want to know my knack for timing, Bill? I'm in the same hotel that the Chiefs stayed in when they were here at the Super Bowl. It's quieter here now. Yeah. And I'm here with Sporting Kansas City.
How can they even allow you in Gainey Ranch?
I don't belong here. It is definitely too nice for me. I don't belong here. Hey, let me put it to you this way: when it comes to this, what we're talking about here, if they got to pay, because they can't pay everybody, right? So paying Chris Jones, paying Orlando Brown, paying these wide receivers like Juju Smith-Schuster that you said. I'm just gonna let's just take the players out of it and just go with the position. You got to pay for a left tackle to protect Patrick Mahomes, or you got to pay for one or two of these wide receivers to give Mahomes somebody to throw to, or you got to pay for that defensive tackle to make the plays that Chris Jones made. Which position? You just got to pick one. Which one do you think is most important to put your money at?
Well, it would be between my left tackle and my defensive tackle. I mean, what Chris Jones has done for the entire defense. You know, he is the pass rush. I mean, everything comes off of him. And that was really valuable. And I don't know how you replace that or if you think you can. Our edge rushers are, you know, a little long in the tooth, let's say, except for Karlaftis. And so what are you going to attack? If you don't have him to kind of create things for the other guys on that defensive line, then you're not only talking about replacing him, you're talking about building an entire pass rush and going out and trying to find an entire pass rush. And although Veach has been really good at, you know, reconstructing offensive lines and secondaries and things of that nature, man, getting a pass rush and finding the right guys, that's a challenge. So I think it is your left tackle and Chris Jones. I mean, wide receivers, I think you can find them a lot of places. I think you can pick them up free agency. I think you can find them in the draft. You can bring guys in. I mean, speed is a huge part of this thing. And with speed comes usually youth. So what do we have, 11 picks in the draft this
year? Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. I mean, heck. And if they trade one of these guys for something, you know, even more. And then you could maybe compile a couple of draft picks and slide up somewhere and grab a guy to fill a need. But I think they've shown that they can handle the draft, manage the draft, and build a roster off the draft. And I think they're going to continue to do that and believe that they can do that. And that helps a lot when you're dealing with contract negotiations and trying to fill needs.
So, Bill, I'm gonna see you at the Steve DeBerg roast.
Oh, hopefully before then.
Right. Oh yeah, there'll be, you know, we'll get the NFL draft and everything else. But I'm just making you. Are you? You're not just gonna be there. You're gonna get up and roast some people, right?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Christian wants me to.
Oh, I think Christian wants you to. I think I want you to. I think you're. I mean, you'll have the stories. You know, and you'll be one to tell them.
I've got some off the top of my head. Yeah. I mean, geez, oh my gosh. What a guy, what a character, what a battler. He was a warrior. There's no doubt about that.
No, that's still maybe, I mean, outside of now, these Super Bowl championship teams, when I was a kid, that was the 1990 Chiefs that lost to the Dolphins in the wild card were my favorite team, and still remembering Steve DeBerg with that pin coming out of his pinky, that damaged pinky. Being double tough and playing through that pain, the injury he suffered against the Houston Oilers when Warren Moon threw for 1,000 yards. But I'm with you, Steve DeBerg. That's the perfect personality to roast, and he's a great sport. We just hope, like you said, he makes it through the night. There's roast number
fun,
one.
Guys. We got a lot of great things coming up in Kansas City, man. This is just such an exciting time. I said it before. Early on in the season, I hope everybody's just enjoying this ride because this is so fun.
Right, and it's like if the parade wasn't enough, it's like another coronation of Kansas City as the center of the NFL universe. Because when the draft is here, everything's gonna be home of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. It's just going to be constant reminder. All these fans, Bill, have you noticed that? They're all around the net. They hate Kansas City now. They hate the Chiefs. They hate us because they ain't us, and it's wonderful.
You know, all I can warn fans is, like, enjoy it, but don't become like the Patriots fans. You know the Patriots fans, how they got that snooty and everybody else is, you know, blah, get away from me. And just enjoy it and love our Chiefs and don't become that.
That's right. Love the Chiefs and screw everyone else. Hey, Bill, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Always, guys. Have a good one.
That's Bill Moss. So, why don't you just love the Chiefs, Nate, instead of being so snooty? I think he's talking to you.
Well, I you know me. I kind of can't help it. I called it an elitist Richard at one point in time.
You can call more than that.
Well,
you got that, Nate?
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You got that, Nate?
He got it.
It's hard to be humble when you just live in the greatest town in America with the best sports teams. I mean, you know, you win championships all the time. It's hard to stay humble.
You have to, though.
You got to stay humble. Sit down and be humble.
What are you going to do for Fat Tuesday?
Is that tomorrow?
Yeah. Isn't it?
I don't,
am I wrong?
Del Taco
right.
Might be calling my name. I might just have to, like, because the problem with Del Taco is it's not healthy. And
no, it's healthy.
If I'm going to do it, I feel like I should just plow through as many tacos as humanly possible.
Wow, that's been taken the wrong way. I can probably go ahead and mark the tape on that one. On that note, we're going to take a break. I'm not going to try to follow that up.
Okay.
Back into this on WHP.
All right.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Marco Marquez back in Kansas City. And right now, we will throw it to Arizona, where Nate Bucati is covering Sporting Kansas City training. We had Todd Lebo earlier with his report live from Royals training camp, spring training, and now we have Sporting getting ready for their season as well. I believe Nate is about 45 minutes away from where Todd is. And so, Nate Buchady, tell us where you are, what you're doing, and most importantly, who your next special guest is live from Arizona.
Yeah, Stephen, so I am in Scottsdale with Sporting Kansas City, where they are staying right now. But we here in about 30 minutes will be heading out to Surprise, where Sporting will have a light training session today and then two full training sessions tomorrow and Wednesday as they get ready for their season opener in Portland for the 2023 campaign. And there's a lot of optimism around Sporting Kansas City going into this season, and the man that's sitting to my left right now is a big, big reason why. Just to recap really quickly, last year the season got off to a rough start for Sporting because their two most expensive players, Alan Pulido and Gadi Kinda, which was their forward and their attacking midfielder, the two players that are most responsible for creating goal-scoring chances, got injured and never played a single minute for the team last year. So they got buried pretty low in the standings. In the middle of the summer, Sporting went out and they brought in two players at those positions, Eric Tommy from Germany to play in the midfield and Willie Agata from Nigeria to play forward. As soon as those guys got here, and it was kind of a torturous middle of the summer because they had come to terms with both players, but they were dealing with, you know, government bureaucracy and everything and trying to get those guys visas so they could come over here and play. So they were stuck waiting and waiting. And once they finally got here, the team immediately started winning games and cranking out results and moving up the standings. They just ran out of time before they could get far enough up the standings to make it into the playoffs. So I think a lot of us feel like, boy, if they just pick up where they left off at the end of last year, this is going to be a really dangerous team in 2023. Willie Agata played 12 games for Sporting last year. He started 10 of them, and he produced 8 goals and 2 assists, which is an incredible return. If he plays at that pace this year, he will win the Golden Boot running away. That's a hard thing to do for a long season. I don't want to put that pressure on Willie right now. I hear you laughing. So there's my introduction right now. A 23-year-old from Nigeria.
And you heard it here. Nate Buchady predicts that Willie Agata will win the Golden Boot. So a tremendous amount of pressure put on him day one of his trip to Arizona.
This man laughs in the face of pressure. Willie, how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Well, we'll see. You know, we just need to keep pushing, you know, and, you know, let the team keep going, and we'll see how the season goes. But like you said, no pressure, you know. We take it game by game.
Yeah, so you have – I wish you could see him right now, Stephen, because from the moment he sat down, Willie's had this big smile on his face. And, Willie, I told Stephen when I was preparing him for this interview you're about to hear from the happiest guy on the planet. From the moment I remember doing the Zoom interview with you when you were in Nigeria waiting to come over here and you had that smile. Are you always this happy?
I told you from the beginning, you know, like for me, I have no reason not to be smiling, you know, like, you know, coming back from home, you know, back home, the opportunities, you know, doing what I like the most. Have family happy, you know, being in one of the best teams I could ever be in my life. So why not, you know, just need to keep smiling, you know, and that's it.
See how awesome that is. Usually, Willie, when someone's on an interview with Nate, they're very angry. And so this is different. This makes us feel good because usually he makes people frown. But so now, I understand, so was he showing you videos of the Nigerian nightmare, Christian Okoye? And if so, what was your reactions? Because he is a Nigerian hero.
Yeah, to be honest, I was contemplating, you know, thinking, how did he get to, you know, be so good in this game? Because back home, you know, soccer is like the first game there. And then my man here was trying to explain to me he got an opportunity in the university and he was doing that. But this guy is so big and fast, bro. I swear. But it's good. He's a very good player. I saw the video and he was, like, incredible, like, good.
So you didn't know who he was, though, before I showed you the videos.
No, yeah.
One of the things that Christian does to this day is he has a charity foundation, and he collects soccer balls and soccer equipment to send back to Nigeria for kids who don't have those things. Mm-hmm. Sporting Kansas City's been very generous with donating all this soccer balls and equipment and everything.
Yeah, I know about that. Shout out to Sporting. You know, the last time I was going back home, you know, during the break, they gave me a lot of equipment I take back home, and thanks for Sporting and all the charity and organization there. They helped me out.
So as a little kid growing up playing in Nigeria, did you have nice shoes? Did you have boots? Did you have good soccer balls? What were the conditions like for you playing soccer as a kid there?
To be honest, it's difficult. You know, you don't have good fields. You don't have, you know, materials you need, you know. You can see, you know, you guys have everything here. But there is like struggling school. And you just need to take yourself from school, the training ground, you know, holding your backpack with everything in. So it's kind of difficult, though. Thank God my dad used to play soccer, so always used to tell me, like, do something in the house, clean the house, I will get you your boots, you know. So I'm trying to be a good kid so that my shoes will be ready, you know, all the time. But I know how it is, you know, like, it's not all the kids in the street, you know, that have it. So that's why, you know, whenever someone got the opportunity to take something back home, we always do it, like, every season. For me, it's like tradition. You just need to take some kids back home, you know. You cannot leave things here, you know. Whatever you don't need here, you just need to take it back home, because a lot of people need these stuffs, and Sporting helped me out, you know, last season. After the season, they were like, bro, if you need something, just talk to us. And I take a lot of, like, 6 suitcases back home. Trust
Did
me.
You? Yeah, that's awesome. So yeah. I remember talking to you when we did that Zoom, when you had been signed and you're sitting in your house in Nigeria waiting to get the visa to come over here. You had never been to the United States before that, right?
Mm-mm, no.
But you had ideas because you watched movies and things like that. What has the experience been like living here for about a half a year now compared to what you thought it would be?
To be honest, it was so funny, like, because I was, like I told you before, I thought I'm going to see a lot of people on the street, you know, shooting movies, and then I come and, like, everyone is just minding his business, and I was like, okay, no problem. But, you know, it's been great, you know, Kansas City, it's been nice, you know, good people around, always trying to help, they show love, you know, you see people smiling on the street, you know, and in the team, it's amazing, you know, all the guys are welcoming, from the staff to the boys in the locker room. They always try to help the new players. For me, I can't complain, you know. A lot of amazing people, you know, next to me always, you know. And so, shout out to all the boys in the team.
So were there any specific movies that you watched that you were hoping, I hope this is what the United States is like? Like, what, like, give me a, like, an idea of what you had of the United States before you got here based on the movies that you watched.
You know, the Rambo movie?
Yeah.
The Rambo? Yeah.
Rambo?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to see a lot of, you know, gas station getting you know, like, born and stuff like that. I'm like, no.
But, so did you, when you got here, were you looking for Rambo around? Did you look for Sylvester Stallone? Did you
for think, real? I was looking up to something, you know. Let me just see something, you know. Maybe some Fast and Furious shooting on the screen.
Now we're talking.
This is Steven's favorite movie.
Yeah. Fast and Furious, right? You like that,
Bro, I like that.
You thought people were going to be driving really fast all over the place, machine guns out the windows.
Yeah, that's right. Dude, you know, spin out and you kind of drive backwards and all that stuff. Right? So the Rock.
Don't try to drive like that, William.
I will not.
Yeah, no, there's, you know, you'll get arrested. So you like The Rock and all the, you know, so the Fast and the Furious. And so there's a new Fast and Furious movie coming out. So then maybe we have to all go see that together. And so maybe
we need to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's do that.
Right. And so were hoping. So then you get off the plane and you get in the United and say, oh, this isn't like Fast and Furious. So you were a little disappointed. Yeah. But it's a lot safer, though. See, that's better.
Not disappointed, but I was like, okay, that's how it should be, you know?
Right.
No problem. One day, I will get to see something by God's grace.
Sometimes, you know, Nate's late a lot. And sometimes he drives like that to try to get to Sporting. And so maybe you should drive with him. And that could be a fun experience for you.
Okay, if he wants to, I hope Peter allow him to take me with him, no problem.
Oh, yeah, he's a crazy driver, Willie.
Yeah, that's not true, by the way. I'm the opposite of Fast and Furious. I am slow and calm. That doesn't make for as good of a movie. we, So we've got Willie Agata here. You mentioned how nice everything is since you got to the United States and the conditions that you grew up in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Also, when you come to Sporting, they have like the nicest soccer facilities in the country, some of the nicest soccer facilities in the world. Did you have any idea how nice that stuff would be when you got here? Were you blown away by it when you saw it?
To be honest, no. Like, when I, my first day in the training facility, I was like, wow, are we going to use all of these things? They're like, yeah, it's for you guys, you know. And they're like, okay, what about this machine? There is things that, to be honest, I never saw it in my life, you know.
Yeah.
But it was amazing, you know. That's why, you know, we just need to keep going. This is how to appreciate, you know, to just keep giving everything in the field. And that's how you can say thanks to all these people that put those things together, you know, just to make us, you know, to be in a good form, you know.
Can you remember one of the things that you saw that you had never seen before?
Oh, like, the gym is filled of everything, you know. You have every machine there. You have, I don't know the names, but the machine I saw there is like, no, you know. It's not just the regular, you know, weights that you see in the gym, you know. But it's crazy, you know. They have everything, trust me.
So you, what usually when a player comes and joins Sporting Kansas City, Peter Vermees will say, let's give this guy a little while. It's going to take him a little bit to learn the system, to be able to fit in with the players.
Yeah.
And I mentioned it earlier. I mean, you hit the ground running right off the bat and started scoring goals, and it just seemed like it was a perfect fit right when you got here. Were you surprised at how easily you jumped right in?
To be honest, like, I just want to say thanks to all the boys in the team, because without them, nothing, you know, has been done this way. So they try to help all the time, and they try to make the job, you know, easy for each and every one of us that arrive at that time, me and Tommy. For me, example, you know, listen to the guys out front. It's not that I'm not surprised, you know, because I know, like, you know, I can do it when I have these right people, you know, next to me, you know, to help me, you know. You just need to be with a good team, you know, to be able to do this job, you know. So thanks to coach, he was also helping, you know, like, don't go there, stay here, this is where you should be, the ball is coming, stay patient. And then whenever I do the right thing, just like they, you know, advise me, you know, always, you know, the goals is not that thing that you always like see, but the big job is like try, you know, to be patient and help the team, you know, in those good ways that you need to help. And then the goals is just like a bonus, you know. Yeah.
So, Stephen, one of the things that, that stood out to me watching Willie play right away, though, is while he is this happy, smiling guy all the time, you get on the field and you're a beast. I mean, you're one of the strongest guys out there. Nobody can knock you off the ball. You're throwing your head into dangerous areas and brave.
Yeah.
Is it a switch that flips? Like, what's your mentality when you're actually on the field? Are you still happy? Because you look very fierce.
So, to be honest, this is something that, you know, most of my friends ask me sometimes when they saw my action, because I think it's about, you know, me, you know, whenever I'm in the field, I don't think like I'm in the United States or anywhere. I just feel like, hey, it's that screaming program that I'm doing back home, that if I do nothing good, like, no one is going to pick me. So, just like a fighting battle, you know, for me. I try, you know, to be smiling in the field, but so many times I caught myself, you know, still angry face, you know. But it's just like for me, you know, thinking about home, you know, don't want to, you know, disappoint anybody, you know, back home. There's a lot of people, you know, looking up to you. And also this, the fans, you know, they want to see you fighting. So you just want to do your best, you know, always. I want to be smiling doing this thing, but there is no way you can do this both, you know. After the game, we can be smiling, you know, and be friends, but in the field, you know, it's something else, you know. We just need to keep it going, and that's it, you know. Nobody's your friend in your field. That's it.
So you say you want to keep everybody proud back home.
Yeah.
I thought of you last night because I was watching the NBA All-Star game, and the halftime show, they wanted to really they wanted to lean into the African roots of, you know, that, that relates to the league and the NBA. And so the halftime show was three performers who were all from Nigeria.
Did you
watch it?
Yeah, I watched some highlights.
Do you know all those acts and everything?
I know it. The first guy was Burna Boy. Second, the first one was Burna Boy, the big man, and second one was Rema. He's also like a new artist, but he's a big right now, you know. And then you have Thames, But Afrobeat is so big right now, you know, that they're making people proud, you know. They're hitting now in the United States, you know. Everyone is listening to Afrobeat. You should listen to some Afrobeat.
I did. Last night, when I walked to dinner, I was like, I'm going to listen to Burna Boy. Yeah. And I liked it quite a bit because I hadn't heard it before.
You have a couple of them. You have Whiskey, Davido, you know. You have a couple of boys, you know. That's it. You have some Ghana, you know. Some Ghana artists also, you know. The Sarkodier, the, you know, a lot of... I know Afrobeat is hitting right now. You should listen to some Afrobeat.
What do you think, Steven? You listen to some Afrobeat?
No, but I'm looking right now. May 19th is the release date for Fast 10, the final installment of the Fast and Furious saga. And so I take my boys. We've seen all of them together. And so this is the... And look, well, you're going to see... You like this movie, other people will make fun of us for liking the series of movies. I will officially invite you. We will take you.
We'll go together.
You will be a guest, and we will watch this movie, and we will love it. And Nate can talk down about us, but we love Fast and Furious. So
I'm in.
You're in. I'm taking you. You're going to be my guest. We'll go to the premiere of the Fast and Furious 10.
Yeah, true. So this guy's Burna Boy and... the rest of them that you saw, you know, to be honest, seeing them yesterday, you know, it's something that we're proud of them, you know. It's not easy to make it to this top level, you know. And especially we, the soccer players, we always, you know, again, you know, trying to, you know, keep the story going, you know. It's not all about where you start. You just need to keep it going. So, and that's it.
And I will say this, Steven. All of Willie's fans back in Nigeria will be able to watch his games on this Apple TV situation. It's a global rights deal. You can buy the Apple MLS season pass. Your friends can all watch it no matter where they are in the world.
I'm excited about that.
And you know what they're going to see? They're going to see him play Fast and Furious for Sporting
Kansas. Yeah. That's kind of how you play, exactly, isn't it?
Right.
It's true.
Let's go.
We should tie it all together.
Let's go.
Hey, Willie, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much, guys, for making your time, you know, to do this. You know, it speaks for us, and we want to appreciate you guys. On behalf of the team, thank you so much. We appreciate you guys.
All right. May 19th.
The Fast and Furious. Right. Willie Gatta, Steven.
That's right. All right. We'll be right back after this on WHB.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you to Todd Lebo, who reported live from Arizona, where he's covering spring training with the Royals. And we heard some comments from new Royals manager Matt Quatrero. Gary Lise gave you the forecast. Adam Teicher from ESPN talked about the Chiefs. Bill Moss also talked about the Chiefs. And then we just had... Willie Agata from Sporting Kansas City. We also played some comments from Bill Self after KU's comeback victory over Baylor. We heard from Jerome Tang after the Wildcats' comeback victory over Iowa State. And we heard from Dennis Gates after Mizzou lost to Texas A&M in Columbia. And Isaiah Mosley, once again, did not play tonight right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB 630 pregame. 8 o'clock tip-off, Kansas at TCU. Then we'll have post-game right after the game. Be weird if we had it before the game, so we say post-game for after the game because that's how we do it. And then tomorrow night we will see Baylor and Kansas State and Mizzou and Mississippi State. Getting closer and closer to the Big 12 tournament returning to Kansas City. And then... Selection Sunday, and then the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight will be here in Kansas City, and then it's opening day, and then the NFL draft will be here. So if you thought that it was over because the NFL season has ended, no, that season never ends.
And so the offseason has begun. And before you know it, we'll be talking about hosting the NFL draft here in Kansas City, home of the world champion Kansas City Chiefs. Nate Bucchetti, sign off from Arizona.
Well, I look forward to another great day tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as I sit basking in the glow of the hotel where the Chiefs stayed when they won the Super Bowl. And so maybe the Chiefs season ending in a Super Bowl championship here at this hotel means that Sporting Kansas City will begin a championship season here in this hotel. That's what I'm hoping for, and I will be here all week.
That's Nate Bucchetti in Arizona all week. Marco Marquez and me, Stephen St. John in Kansas City, holding it down without a frown on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.